In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. I just want to say in advance, if you are visiting, you may have noticed, especially if you're not from New England, that in New England, in Protestant churches, Christmas Eve tends to be more full than Christmas Day. I couldn't tell you why. So you're getting the Christmas Sermon 201. If you would like Christmas Sermon 101, you can go online and find the video of last night's service. But this Gospel of John is such a beautiful nativity story. It's John's only nativity story. The ones we're used to, with the shepherds in the fields and the wise men and the angel Gabriel announcing the virgin birth to Mary, those come from Matthew and from Luke. Mark starts with Jesus as a full-grown adult, and here is John's story of Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if this was all that there was to Christianity, it would have been a much more respectable religion in the early days. The ancient philosophers knew about the Word, with a capital W, the Logos in Greek, the eternal principle, the structure, the logic of the universe. It's that same word as logic or theology, logos. Educated Greeks and Romans were very skeptical about some of the traditional stories of their gods, the ones we know from mythology, Zeus and Athena and Aphrodite and Hermes running around doing all sorts of mythological things. But they believed, for the most part, in some kind of god, some personal guiding principle behind the order of the universe, in the same way that many educated and thoughtful people in our culture, who have no interest in the Christian religion or any religion at all, might still send out good vibes to the universe in the hope that the universe has some personal guiding logic of justice, right? Some called this the Logos, and at least some Stoic philosophers in the ancient days said that the Logos was God. So these words from John would have been exciting and interesting to an educated Greek or Roman. They would have thought, I'd like to hear more about this new philosophy. John continues with a reflection on some equally exalted themes, themes that still connect with many of us today, these themes of light and darkness, of life and death, of enlightenment and the true light coming into the world. And even this claim that John makes that to all received him, he gave power to become children of God, even this strange claim that human beings could become children of God would not have sounded so strange. For the ancients, humanity and divinity existed on a kind of spectrum. You could go from being a human to being a demigod, maybe, like Hercules. You could even become a god after you died, like Julius Caesar was said to have, so that Octavian Augustus, his adopted son, the emperor when Jesus is born, was called the Son of God. And while the educated, again, might scoff at the idea that the emperor could become a god after his death and somehow join them in heaven, the goal of every ancient philosophy was to become, in some sense, more like the gods, to have the tranquility and the peace and the power and the self-contained lack of suffering that the gods were said to have. But then John continues, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And all those ancient philosophers who'd been following the story so far would gasp. This, more than anything else, is what separates Christianity from every other religion, from every other philosophy. This is what made early Christians subject to such intense ridicule from the people around them. This is what you might call the scandal of the incarnation. Christianity teaches that our God, the eternal Logos, the divine ordering principle of the universe, became flesh and lived among us. Even in that word, incarnation, you can hear carne in Spanish, right? Meat. God became flesh, this stuff we are made of, and lived among us. This was a scandal, not because it seemed impossible for a god to do such a thing, although it is strange, but because it made God sound so weak. To be human, to take on flesh, is to be subject to all of our sickness and frailty and pain. To have a body is to know limitations, that Jesus could not fly through the sky at 200 miles an hour like Superman, that Jesus, while he could perform healings and miracles, also very clearly suffered and died. He felt sadness and rejection and loss and pain. He lived in the same messy world that we did, and then he left it by dying, just as every one of us does. And this is not the sort of thing that a God should do. And yet it's exactly the sort of thing that God did. God came into a messy world. God took on our messy flesh. God entered into all of the joy and all of the sorrow of human life. And by entering into that life, God did something amazing to it. God somehow redeemed that sorrow and suffering and pain and magnified that joy. God blessed the very fact of human life in all its imperfection and broke the power of death over human beings. God sanctified this frail, imperfect flesh that we have and made it divine and gave all of us the power to become children of God, as John says, heirs of an eternal kingdom. Love came down at Christmas, as the carol goes. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. And that love made flesh was that eternal word of God made flesh. That eternal word of God that structured the entire universe, that was love, made into a human being, so that we human beings might grow more deeply into that love, that we might become more godlike as we become more loving. The miracle is that we've been given the power to do exactly that. By the Holy Spirit, we grow ever closer to God and ever deeper in our love for God and one another. Not so that we can escape this world, not so that we can deny this world, not even so that we can change this world, but so that we can be in this world as Jesus was when the Word became flesh, as human beings, vulnerable, loving, and beloved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.